I would call your attention to the Word of God as we find it in these words recorded by the Apostle Paul to the Philippians in chapter 4 and in verse 13, a well-known passage to all of us. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We come to the Lord's Supper this morning on this beautiful fall day. The sun is brightly shining. All sorts of people are confused. They say, is this Western Pennsylvania? They're used to cloudy days. And what a beautiful time of year fall is. You see the brilliant colors and the crisp mornings. It was a beautiful, crisp morning this morning. And it invigorates. Not all of us enjoy the kind of strength and vigor to be invigorated that we once had. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that the Lord's Supper is given to strengthen us. And so it's appropriate that we should look to this particular text as the Apostle Paul expresses his confidence in the Lord and that the Lord will strengthen him. Now, we might ask ourselves the question when we think about the Lord's Supper, why do I need strengthening? You know, it's a pretty small cup, and it's a little tiny piece of bread. How does this strengthen me, and why do I need the strength that's offered in the Lord's Supper? And the first thing, of course, that we have to remember, because keeping things straight is part of the function of a good systematic theology. And in the system of truth, when we ask ourselves the question, what kind of strength is granted to us in the Lord's Supper? Another way to put that would be, in what way is the grace of God given in the Lord's Supper? And in our theology, we recognize as we look at the general teaching of the Bible and the New Testament that, as a matter of fact, there is no different kind of grace that is offered in the Lord's Supper than what is offered in the gospel. In the proclamation of the Word of God, when the gospel is offered, the Spirit of God, by his mercy, applies the Christ that is offered to us in the gospel. And in that way, we are saved. The Christ who is offered to us in the gospel, received by faith alone, is our salvation as we are united to Christ and we are his and he is ours. So we are saved. It is Christ's righteousness that saves. And so we want to ask that question, why do we need to be strengthened? Why do we need to find ourselves considering that sitting down at table with our Lord, we need to be braced for what we are called to do, what we are called to be as Christians. And there's a number of reasons, of course. First of all, because we need to persevere. And secondly, of course, because We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a beautiful little baby that's born. If it doesn't grow, there's a great problem. If it doesn't persevere in health and strength and continue, there's a great problem. And of course, as a child grows, it grows into maturity in order to do something. So we not only need strength to persevere, but we need strength to grow, and we need strength to serve, to do all that God has called us to do in the place that He's put us, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. But we have enemies to weaken us. And we need to be strengthened against their attacks. Attacks that at time after time will come in unexpected ways and in unsuspected moments and can be overwhelming. Our enemies, if we were to summarize them, are well known to us. There's our remaining sin within, the trouble that's in our soul. There's Satan, and he is our enemy. He is the accuser of the saints, and he never quits. And there is the world. Remember from Romans 6, while on the one hand we're told that sin will no longer have dominion over us, in Romans 7, Paul reminds us that there is still that principle within that causes a great war within us. And he cries out, "Who will deliver me from the burden of this flesh?" And of course, the answer for Paul is our answer. He thanks God for our Lord Jesus Christ and the rescue that we have in him, that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the message of the Lord's Supper to us. And Paul's confidence in the battle with sin and Satan in the world, in the very real ways that he encounters it, are what he is speaking of when he says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." He's reflecting on the gift that the Philippians have given him. He's thankful for that supply. But he doesn't want them for a moment to think that he is rejoicing in that supply because he's been left abandoned and in need. God has not abandoned Paul, even though for all intents and purposes, when you look at his life, both Paul would have good reason to raise the question, "Am I sent out here on a mission without supply?" And the world might look at him and say, "My, oh my, what has this man gotten himself into?" And we hear Paul speaking about these things in his letters. It's usually in the context of defending his own ministry. We might ask ourselves, "Paul, why do you have to spend this time defending your ministry?" And although there's other reasons that we could go into this morning, one of the side effects of Paul's defending his ministry is that we have a wonderful description of all that the apostle had to go through, lest we think of this premier apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, as somebody who just sailed through life, after all, being an apostle. It's something that we do even with the Lord Jesus himself. We think of Jesus sailing through his ministry. After all, he's the Son of God. He can bear these things. He knows what's coming. And sometimes in our minds, approaching things almost with the lack of sensitivity of, say, Sunday school children, we say, well, after all, he could handle this because he was God. And we forget the terrible burden, the anticipation of the cross under which our Savior ministered. And then the Apostle Paul, in all that he suffered, and Paul looking at that as filling up the sufferings of Christ. In other words, laboring in such a way that what the world would do with Jesus, they would do to him. But what is his confidence is also to be ours. He says in verse 19, as you heard it read this morning, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Just exactly what the Apostle Paul begins his glorious praise of the Father in Ephesians chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul also repeats this sentiment about God's richly supplying the church in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work." Speaking that way about what God provides by his grace in Christ Jesus, is it any wonder that he can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me"? He's received their gift, and he wants them to know that in the straits that he's been, it's not the gifts that are the all-sufficient supply. But he's learned in whatever situation he was to be content. That word content means self-sufficient. But it doesn't mean self-sufficient in the sense that the apostle is saying, "I can stand on my own two feet and I can take it in my own strength." But what he's saying is, the Lord so supplies that even in my weakness, even in the extremities of the circumstances of my life, God was there to provide. And I've learned the secret of understanding that God has so provided that what I have, what I am in Christ is sufficient for all I need. And so he uses a word that was used in the mystery religions of his day. There were all kinds of different cults and religions in the Roman Empire. And one of the characteristics of false religion is secret initiatory rites by which you enter into their private secrets, that the mysteries of their God is communicated to you in these initiatory rites. And what he says is, "I've learned the secret of being content." And he uses that word. It's all one word, learning the secret. But what he's saying is, "I've been initiated into something that I need to tell you about, because it's something that each and every one of us needs to learn. I've learned the secret of facing plenty," and there are their own dangers in facing plenty. "And I have learned the secret of facing hunger." And of course, we know that being hungry can drive us to all sorts of misadventures. "And I have learned the secret of facing abundance and need." And it's in that context that he tells us what that secret, in whatever circumstances it is, that he finds himself truly is. This is the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we think of the apostles' trials. What is he talking about? Abounding and being in need. Well, if you look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and chapter 12, he goes through his sufferings as an apostle. He's had far more imprisonments than any other so-called apostle. Countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. He was beaten with 40 lashes. 5 times. If you ever saw the Apostle Paul's back, it would have looked like a set of crisscrossing railroad tracks. He would have been scarred with unspeakable scars on his back for life. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches, which, by the way, makes up the better part of the New Testament in the letters of Paul, writing out of that concern for all the churches. Who is weak? Paul asks. And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant. And then after all of that, he says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And instead of talking about the danger in the wilderness and at sea, I think the thing that he counted the most humiliating event of his life. But I was let down in a basket. He was blessed forever knows I'm not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Arrestus was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. He was humiliated and he had to flee. And then he talks of the thorn that he has in the flesh because God had given him such revelations that he could fall into the sin of being a prideful apostle. And he says that he must not boast. And in verse 7 of chapter 12 in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it might leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's why we need the strength of the Lord's Supper, because he doesn't call us to serve him, to resist sin, Satan, and the world in our own strength, by our own power, with our own inner character, but only by the grace, so that the power of Christ might rest on me, Paul says. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. That is, when I am weak means when in his own strength he has nothing with which he can accomplish that for which Christ has sent him. He is not abandoned, he is not without what is necessary, but by the grace of God. And he speaks of that elsewhere, Ephesians 3:16, 1 Timothy 1:12. And he says explicitly, it's Christ who strengthens me. And what we need to understand there is that what Paul is saying is it's not just a power. Grace is not a substance. Grace is not just a power out there by itself. Something that is given without reference to what that grace is all about. That grace that is given is God coming to us in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. What Paul means when he says he's received grace and he's received strength and he's received power from the Lord Jesus Christ is that he's been given Christ. Christ is communicated to him. Grace is not this extra substance outside of God, outside of Christ, that the Holy Spirit sort of bowls down the alley of our life and knocks down the sin pins in our life. But it's communicating Christ. What Jesus says in John chapters 14 through 16 is that the Holy Spirit has been given to communicate Christ and the things of Christ. Isn't that so? And so what we are to do is abide in Christ, John 15. Abide in him and he abides in us. And we do that as the Word of God abides in us. And Christ is communicated by the Spirit of God working by and with the Word in our hearts, bringing to bear Christ. And that becomes all the more clear when in Galatians, Paul speaks of that in a very powerful way. It's almost in a way that when we hear these things, we say, what could he possibly mean by that? And of course, a great deal of his letters pour content into one another. And we could spend the next 2.5 to 3 hours looking at that as we consider what does the apostle mean when he says in Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what's offered to us in the Lord's Supper. Would we be strengthened? We would receive Christ, have Christ living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power that raised Christ from the dead at work in us. Christ communicating himself by the Spirit in such a way that that spiritual power is raising us to newness of life in Christ, a new understanding, new emotions, new feelings, new powers within. Because in that new nature, united to Jesus Christ, it is not in our strength, it's not by what we supply, but it's Christ at work and living in us. So when you come to the Lord's Supper, what is it that is the strength that you would receive? There's not a power in the bread. There's not a power in the wine. There's not a grace that is given that is different than the grace that is offered in the gospel. What you are receiving by faith is Christ and all that he has done for you, and you are receiving it directly from him by that other paraclete, that other friend that brings the things of Christ to you, so that you may say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all that the Lord has called me to do in my life. I can do all these things at hand. I can deal with my sin, with Satan, the world, in the context in which God has put me, with the duties that are before me, with the particular character that he's given me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that's the Lord Jesus. So that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we would come to you this morning pleading that as we come to the Lord's Supper, as we have received Christ in the Scriptures and Christ presented to our faith, and as we have received Christ unto salvation, our righteousness, our wisdom, our redemption from God, so we would come now, O Lord, in the Lord's Supper to receive our Savior and strength sufficient for our day. And we ask that you would so grant us that against our own indwelling sin, against the wiles of Satan, against the allurements and the pressures of this world, you would strengthen us by giving us our Savior and helping us, O Lord, to walk with you. Strengthen us, we pray, through the receiving and the right receiving of this Lord's Supper. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing to God's praise Psalm 56b. Psalm 56b.